Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth, a sports Scales of Truth for you. Just an initial react, not very important. We're all just reacting to sports, right? The Knicks, yeah, come away with it. Kind of what you saw the whole series, man. They're just a better team offensively. The Spurs just continue to get shut down in the second half. Offensively, if they just don't have the defensive clamps on you, they just don't have a very good offense, as I've said. Wimby has a lot of tools. He doesn't have any go-to. He has a lot of tools, and he needs to decide which is his absolute 99th percentile. And that has to be simply, like, if you want to be called a tall Kevin Durant, then do that with the mid-range, okay? Otherwise, learn how to get the ball down low. So, obviously, you know, total bonus as a Spurs fan. I'm not disappointed in any way, shape, or form. I'm glad for New York. It's been 53 years. That's a likable team. So Castle, I thought, actually has looked scared about four quarters in a row. But he's young, so I'm just going to make that observation. I'm not going to crack on him for it. I mean, he's only 21. But you did see him once they were able to stop his forays into the paint. He doesn't really have like a short little jumper from there. He tends to just need to get all the way to the basket or not, does Castle. So, is what it is. Obviously, D-Harp looks great. They're not going to need Fox next year. I don't know what that looks like. And, you know, Jalen Brunson is such a, you know, such a joy to watch. I mean, how crafty he is. I mean, there's certainly some things that irritate me, but, you know, it's kind of just one of those things where you go, yeah, I mean, but a lot of players are crafty because the NBA stupidly allows refs to be totally naive. So I will say a couple things. I don't want it to sound like spilt milk, so I'm going to say it in reverse order. This idea, refs, where for some reason a defender must disappear from their current spot is ridiculous. Stop being naive. If a player offensively initiates contact into a defensive player that's already there, then it's the offensive player's fault. If they want to avoid the contact, they can. Apparently, they didn't want to. So I'm going to go reverse order so it doesn't seem like spilt milk, because I was a little irritated by it at the time. But it really didn't end up really being the game. Late in the game, probably a little outside of 2 minutes, but I don't remember. Another Spurs drought in the fourth quarter. But Wimby did this kind of spin move with Karl Anthony Towns in front of him. And once he did the last spin move, because it's like a double spin move, Karl Anthony Towns is just a little bit to the left in front of him. And Wimby, kind of out of control, does that last move towards Kat and gets a foul. And, like, Kat's already there. Well, what are you doing? That's not a foul, okay? And not only that, it's like, Cat's sixth foul. He fouls out on it. And then before that, what did irritate me, inside of crunch time, and maybe one of them was just outside of outside, but what Brunson did twice was go, I'm just going to go down and try to get 3 points. And so he goes, first of all, towards Castle, and Castle's in front of him. Now, granted, they've moved down the court a bit, so it's early in the possession, but he's just mostly in front of him, and he jumps at him. Now, this isn't a closeout from 3 feet. This is Castle, like, their shoulders are within a foot and a half of each other. So, for basketball players, that's close. And so, Castle does move slightly towards Brunson, but what Brunson did is immediately make contact with Castle and then just throw up the three. Granted, it's basically simultaneously, but it's very clear that he's just trying to get contact on somebody's body and puke up a three. And that should not be a foul. Like, stop being naive. And then he did it with somebody else in front of him, too. It was a different defender, but it was the same thing. It was, okay, at three-point line, don't give the guy to react a chance to react like he's supposed to disappear from where he is. And if he moves forward at all, I mean, this was not 4 feet away. It's, of course, the guy, if they see you, they might kind of brace themselves because they don't know you're shooting a three yet. He didn't have a chance to react to try to block the three. So that wasn't it. So I hate that, but that's just gamesmanship given the current rules. I mean, the Spurs did what they did, kind of like last time. They missed multiple free throws in the last 2 minutes. And then Wimby, I don't remember for sure if this is right. Again, he's young. He's got stuff to learn. It's fine. It's fine. You know, he's made mistakes in the last 2 minutes, but he's only 22. But that doesn't mean we can't point him out. In the one case, it was that the free throw, I don't know, minute left or something like that, certainly within the last 2 minutes, was going to put the Knicks up three, but they missed it. And hold on, was it three? I think they were up three, and then the free throw would have put them up four. And Wimby, if I remember right, rather than just sliding in front of Mitchell, he gets down low and tries to do a leverage game. Just slide in front of him, man. Oh, wow, they're showing the New York streets, I think, possibly. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. But he didn't just angle slide in front of him so that, you know, Mitchell at least has to go through him. He tried to outroute Mitchell instead of just slide in front of him and make Mitchell have to go through him. And so, yeah, just a mistake, because then you get the offensive rebound. They get another free throw, and it does bring him up four. Later on, that was kind of the difference, because at some point, instead of being up just four, they were up four. And so that really is a big difference. They just had a lot of mistakes in the last 2 minutes. Again, D-Harp was good, but he missed a free throw too that could have been important late. And he definitely missed more than one drive, which overall he had a very, very good game. But just, I'm talking about that late game performance just by the whole team. Just, you know, a lot of misses late game. And until the last couple of minutes, they still only had like whatever it was, 16 points in the fourth quarter again. So they got to figure out a way. They did look a little bit better on offense as far as, remember, I know ironically, because I said, well, the offense in game four, first half, quote, looked good, but it was just because they're hitting threes. This game, they moved the ball a little bit more, but it wasn't great. And Castle, for all of his usual artistry down into the paint, was scared. Like, he was scared for like four quarters. He was scared. Didn't even get his first basket until late in the game. The only points he had was a free throw line. And yet, you know, he was trying to get into the lane, could not make anything, just could not make it at all. So, you know, young team. Harper looks scary, so we'll take it, you know, and they're going to have lessons. I've already said what the lessons are. Sports skills of truth. I gave lessons for Wimby. I think after like a loss against Oklahoma City, I gave the lessons for Wimby for the summer, whether they win or lose. And so we know what that is. Wimby has to get a real go-to move. He can't be just fluent at a bunch of different things. He has to have a strong go-to move, and he just doesn't. And again, as I said then, it's not a strong just a go-to move. It's the strong, easy go-to move. It's the efficient and energy efficient. The, like, I could do this all day move. So for me, that's a Wimby, and Legler pointed it out all finals. The mid-range, he just doesn't take it on that, as they say, short roll, you know, after a pickup high, a short roll. So to kind of that mid-range, he doesn't hardly do it. He just has to learn that little mid-range that he can get up over everybody. But yeah, overall, can't complain. You do wonder, do you even need Fox next year? Do you even need him to stabilize? I don't know what the salary situation is, where maybe they just want to keep him. I feel like they'll get rid of him after Harper's emergence. And Castle, you know, it is what it is. He will be better next year, and hopefully they just are hungry and they work on that last little bit of the game that they don't have. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy for the Knicks. I mean, I went through, as a Chiefs fan, 50 years, and they just went through 53 mean, I wasn't alive for all 53, but I'm saying that drought was long enough that, you know, all you see is disappointment and close calls. And so to get past that close calls, and James Dolan is very happy on the stage, and you can see it in his eyes. So I'm really happy for him. All those guys from 98, and that, you know, Starks is there and Ewing is there, and they had so many of those good years where they came close. And even those years where, you know, the famous get blocked three times underneath the rim by the Bulls when it was really, really a pivotal game. I can't remember exactly. I almost feel like it was the deciding game in the East. But regardless, they have all of those nightmares, and it's finally over for them. So the Spurs will have their time with Wimby. Wimby just has to improve offensively. And I knew it first quarter. Like, they're really holding down the Spurs. I'm sorry, the Knicks. The Spurs are really holding down the Knicks with great defense. But then Cat gets in foul trouble, and they really don't ever score. They also have a very low first quarter and first half. And you just know there is no offense here. And I'm not saying the Knicks don't have a lot to do with that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying you have to figure it out. You can't go through these record droughts. Like, you had much worse record droughts in the quarters on average than the Knicks did against your very, very good defense. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really like that the Knicks were able to take over the arena. But on the other hand, it's been 53 years, and that's just the price of tea in China, or if you will, the price of an inexpensive trip to San Antonio for someone who lives in New York. So it is what it is. And you know, how much did Jaylen get? Oh, 45 points? Yeah, I mean, six of those were foul grifting, and I was pissed at first. But there was so much that happened after those two foul grifts of jumping into somebody that in the end, while it was more like get him into the game, he didn't do it late, late, late in the game. But yeah, those 6 points were foul grifts. And what people watching don't like, and I'll give you another example. I'll say it on the Knicks side. So you allow that foul grift where the guy's just in front of him, barely moves, and he purposely jumps into them as soon as he gets to the 3-point line. And yet later on, Harper is mugging Brunson at the half court line, and they don't call it. And it's a clear mug. It's a clear foul. Almost has an over and back as a result of it. And NBA, are you listening? This is what irritates people. You allow foul grifting, and because you do allow foul grifting, then you feel like, well, we can't call the real foul because there's been too many fouls, and then you don't call the real foul. But yeah, happy for Brunson. He's a hell of a player. I think at this point, offensively, he's just as magical as SGA. And I remember, this is the funny thing, I remember this. It was during a decent Dallas run, but I don't think he was there when the Luka Mavericks made it last time all the way to the finals. I think he was gone by then. So it was a little decent run there, and then Luka still got out, I don't want to say early, but that's when Brunson was on the team. And I'm saying to myself, that guy's really good. Like, that guy's scary. I don't know if you're a fan like me, you see a guy that you decide you don't like, and that's Luka. And maybe not so much don't like, but you don't want to see him take over the league. You know, he's fun to watch, but you don't want to see him take over the league. And yet there's you know, Brunson on the same team, and I'm seeing this craftiness. And I'm seeing this like, holy crap, this could be a pair. That guy there is really good. Talking about Brunson, I mean, Luka's obviously good, but this guy's really, really good. Like, he's really crafty. And oh, there's Stiller up close taking taking camera work. So yeah, I like that New York won it. It's been a long time, but I remember seeing that Brunson, you know, really, really crafty. And with Luka, and Dallas really just screwed the pooch with that. Like, how they didn't see that, I don't know. But part of it might be the whole Luka thing where he hogs the ball too much. Also happy for Mike Brown. I mean, Ananobi, all those guys really put in work. I've always liked Mikal Bridges. You know, obviously Mitchell is always so much fun to watch. I was actually, well, I don't, I can't say. I think eventually the foul grifting got to me last year. Yeah, that's right. And I was actually preferring the Pacers. But you know, I mean, even just to see the joy on the faces of the stars, like you see Chalamet, he's like, yeah, but he's a hard rocking, Knicks fan. I mean, that's real emotion by Chalamet. So I have it on mute right now. But some of the fun stuff, I tell you, one of the things that I like, I remember when Sports Illustrated was if you were a sports fan, you had to open up the issue. You had to. And some of the best things about that were the stills, like a ball going up in the air, but somehow it zoomed in enough you can see see people's response on the sideline, like, is it gonna go? And someone else going, man, it's gonna go. They're already practically cheering, or whatever it might be right after. And that's what this reminds me of, like watching on mute. Chalamet's out there with just sheer joy. So good for him. I don't like that the Spurs lost, but it's not like this is the peak of the Spurs, so it's easy to take. Did Ananobi? Okay, what'd they give an Ananobi here? Ananobi, did he get the Finals MVP? I don't think so. But so good. And Cat's what's great about Cat? Oh yeah, he didn't because of course Brunson scored frickin' 45, or he would have been in the running for it. Both this team was like just last year, certainly the year before. You're saying. With those two non-defenders, Cat and Brunson, you can't win a title. A lot of people were saying that he'll never win a title. You can take advantage of him on defense. And they turned it around and made up for it. And that's got to be, I mean, I'm no, Knicks, I don't look at the Knicks closely, but that's got to be just a deployment, a change in strategy. And that's what I appreciate. The Spurs had bad strategy and had bad offense. And what the Knicks did was they clearly addressed their weaknesses, and there you go. And all of a sudden, a guy you can never win a title with is a guy who you can win a title with, have a great run with, almost a historical run, 16-3, and can be the MVP and score 45 against a good defensive team. So, yeah, very, very cool. So, congratulations to Josh Hart. There he is with his boy. I think it's a boy's turnaround. Who's got his little Josh Hart jersey on, which is absolutely adorable. So, yeah, I like those guys, man. But it's easy to like, it's easy to like the teams on the other side of the bracket because they're not keeping you getting in the way of you unless you somehow play them in the finals multiple times. So, Wimby has some room to grow. And of course, he's lucky. He, not that it mattered, but he could have easily, because I believe you get suspended the next game, not immediately. But he really did have a flagrant foul on Brunson. And the reason they didn't call it, because just optically, you think of those landing space fouls on a three as when somebody's closing out. And Wimby was more like right next to him, so he didn't have that, forward jump towards Brunson. But it was a clear an obvious landing space. It's just that visually the ref's eyes aren't used to that type of one being a landing space call. And so Wimby's got to work on that flagrant stuff. And I like that he's, got a little bit of French nasty with him. I do. But he's got to work on that. There's no reason to turn in. You want to intimidate people, but you don't have to be the player that anybody thinks is dirty or on the way to dirty. And right now, people are justifiably calling some of Wimby's plays dirty. So yeah, there's Cat talking to Ernie. Love it, love it. I mean, I'm not happy that the Spurs lost, but you kind of started to see it coming. too many of those misses in the fourth quarter could have been 2-2 so easily. But after you lose over and over again in the fourth quarter, when it's winnable, nobody thinks you're winning three in a row. And then in game five, you go, yeah, they're going to lose the fourth quarter again. And they did. So it's pretty easy to adjust to it. It's not quite like a Super Bowl. Although I did get the opportunity to win two of the times that was it all the times that Patrick lost. It's like, well, they're clearly losing here. So you kind of have a whole half to go, okay, well, they're losing. And that's that. So yeah, happy for Mike Brown. Happy, they brought him in, and I was the first guy to to say, are they stupid? Why would they get rid of the coach last year? He's got them the farthest of anybody. But it was also true that the guy did not use his bench enough. And that's absolutely true. And this year, they definitely used their bench more. And so it's kind of cool that that worked. Oh, there's Spike. There's Mars Blackman. I was talking to a friend of mine who is not a sportster, Kim off Chemology 411. I told her about that cool Mars Blackman poster. Everybody in the house who can remember this? Okay, it's black and white for the most part. It might have that little colorized area. I forget. But I think it's all black and white. And it's Michael Jordan holding out his arm like he's palming a ball to the side. And instead of the ball, it's the top of Mars Blackman's head, played by Spike Lee. And it says on the bottom, the best on earth. That's under Michael Jordan. Under Mars Blackman, it says, the best on Mars. And it's because he's wearing the Nike shoes. So, yeah, I gotta love it. I mean, I'm happy for the Knicks. That's kind of all I got, guys. It's gonna be a fun year next year. That's for sure. That's for darn sure. Now I get to look forward to see if there's anything interesting in the World Cup. Did see the first game. Yeah, I mean, it's the first game. I mean, they should win some games. Too many to go to say whether there's much to talk about. But, yeah, congratulations to the Knicks. And maybe we'll see them next year. I don't think so. They are very, very good. Very, very good. So I guess they have as good of a chance in the East with such an absolute stud with Brunson. They have as good of a chance as anybody to make it back again. But we've seen that we're just not having defending champions. Even as we go, oh, these guys are unstoppable. I don't think anybody thinks that about the Knicks. I just think they think Brunson can get them close definitely again, but not that they're unstoppable. So we'll see. I mean, Detroit has to get a lot better. They just rode on their defense. They're kind of the East Coast version of the Spurs. They just don't have quite the defensive presence of Wimby. So everybody else, you know, that defensive presence, and you just kind of get on a fun roll with the deployment into the middle of the paint where you can usually finish, and all of a sudden you can pull away from all the other teams, and your defense holds you through on the western side. But Knicks, they just couldn't do it. I had nothing for them, dog. My Spurs had nothing for them. Not in the end, anyway. All of them were surprisingly close for, a five-game series. But it's also got to be true. It's got to be true. This has to be statistically unique that in every single game, the losing team in a five-game series was up by double digits in the first quarter. That has to be unique. Also, I am going to say that the ratio of scoring for the first quarter versus the fourth quarter, that is historically unique for the Spurs in the finals. Just how much more they scored in the first quarter on average than the fourth quarter. That has to be historically unique for any NBA Finals team. And that just goes to show you the thing I said, their offense is just limited and too elementary. And it'll get there, and really all it takes is Wimby to learn the rest of his moves. You know, I heard late, he did get some training with Akeem? Well, he needs to learn it more. And there was somebody else who he got training with. He needs to learn it the rest of the way. Okay, guys, yeah. yeah, so many good New York and fun New York players over the years that get a chance to, you know, by proxy, just enjoy this and that big old city, too. Didn't really like the whole idea of the eggs thrown and somebody, you know, gets on a Spurs fan. But, you know, New York's a big city and there are bad apples, no pun intended, in any crowd. And so not going to put it on the people of New York, just a couple of dummies. So have fun, New York. Congratulations on your title. Thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.